Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, hey friends, welcome to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Laura Wiffler and my co-host Emily Jensen will be joining me in a moment. If you're new around here, welcome. We are so excited that you're here. You can find everything you need to get started at risenmotherhood.com/new here. We have curated all sorts of great stuff for you there so that you can easily find some of the best things to get started in your journey with Risen Motherhood. Also, I want to let you know that we are diving into a lot of topics throughout this series. So we created a free workbook to go along with each show. This is your chance to get creative, write prayers, and really think about where God may be growing you this season. We hope it encourages you to step outside the box and maybe even share with a friend a few ways you want to pursue your passions and interests that God has given you. This is free when you sign up for our email list, so head to risenmotherhood.com/whole to snag yours. Lastly, I just want to let you know there's only a couple weeks left to pre-order my new book, A World Wonder. It releases on March 5th, 2024, and if you're looking for a picture book to help encourage your kids to pursue big dreams with Christian values in mind, this is the book that will meet that need. When you pre-order, there are tons of fun freebies waiting for your kids too. Head to the show notes to find all the links to purchase and redeem your pre-order bonuses. Okay, let's get to the show. I still remember driving home from the hospital and having like our first son in the back seat and thinking to myself, I can't believe they let us go home with him. Because I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And looking at my husband be like, do you know what you're doing? And really truly feeling like, I don't remember when am I supposed to change the diaper? How am I supposed to swaddle? What's the whole rhythm with, you know, feeding and sleeping and all the things? And perhaps, you know, previous generations of mothers came into motherhood knowing more, but I do think it's a common experience that moms enter motherhood now and feel like there's a whole world of things that I need to learn. And it's really normal to then go into a season of months or years where a lot of the things that you're focused on learning and growing in knowledge of are related to your kids.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, you feel like you only have a limited amount of time to do research and to grab books. And so what's it going to be about? Well, it's going to be about this huge thing that has just overturned your life. And so there's an element that I think it is so right and so good that moms are saying, I am eager to learn about this. I want to care for my child well. It's in their best interest. I want to do a good job. I mean, that's totally makes sense. And I remember doing a lot with, this is probably the young moms who are listening are going to be like, what is this stuff? Like you guys are so old, but Baby Wise, remember that was, and 12 hours by 12 weeks. And like, there was a co-sleeping book. There were like all the options, right?
Yeah,
for sleeping,
yeah.
But there were like three books that were, really big where you were, everybody was like reading all three and then deciding what kind of sleeper they're going to be. Baby led weaning, right?
Oh,
that
yeah.
was huge. I don't even know how babies are fed now. Like I wouldn't even know.
How do they do it? Do they like put food on a plate and they give it in their mouth?
I mean, remember you were supposed to put the whole avocado on? Like that was the, you weren't supposed to put it on a spoon. There was no baby food. I don't know. You know, it might be like, give them the whole cow. I don't know.
I remember trying to learn also how to parent. You know, that was this whole world of reading books because it's like, I don't know how to respond when they look you in the eye and they say no, or they're having a tantrum. Like, what do you literally do? Like break it down.
What
for
do I
me.
Say? Give me the script.
Step by step. Uh-huh. Or, like, how do you handle these different situations? And I think that that type of content has exploded even more so than when we had babies and toddlers. I mean, it feels like sometimes on my Instagram, like every other reel is, you know, and here's how to talk to your kids about this. And here's how to talk to your kids about that. And here's how to respond with that. And it's like, there is just this real need we have to be practically equipped. And like, if you didn't take a bunch of childhood development classes.
Or you don't have like a mother-in-law nearby or a mom nearby or someone who's helping you from your church.
You got to learn about all that stuff.
You got to learn. And no matter what, you got to learn, but it depends on where you get it, I suppose. And so we want to like, we want to pause and say, you know, this whole episode's about learning. And as you guys all know, this whole series is about becoming whole women, not just focus only on motherhood, but seeing like all the different ways that we can be interested in things and honor ourselves as women of God. And yet there, it is right and good to want to spend time studying up and learning about how to take care of our children. But I think for you and I, Emily, we've talked a lot about how we really didn't learn anything about any other topic.
But like everything else, like put on hold and for 5 years.
Yeah, it was like motherhood and the gospel, right? Like, I mean, that's how this whole ministry started, is like, yeah. Oh, well, let's talk about what we're learning. Let's process it out loud. And so that's so great. But there's also an element that sometimes I look back and think, I think I could have spent a little bit of time learning about other things and kind of broadening my scope. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. We definitely can see in scripture that God created us to be learners. I mean, I think that is just baked into like how our brains work, to how we grow and develop. Like, we desire to grow in our knowledge and in our understanding of things. And we see that in Adam and Eve. And, you know, we don't know all of the specific ways that they learned. Was it from experience? Was it from, you know, talking with God as he walked with them in the cool of the day? Was it through trial and error? Was it through observation? Probably all of those ways and more. Like, they weren't sitting around reading textbooks about how the world worked, but they were learning about how it worked. And we just see that, right? That even throughout scripture, it's God's design that we would grow in our knowledge of things and our knowledge of who he is and our knowledge of people, of how the world works, of how, you know, even just like science and math and all of those different things. It's a way that we worship him. I like to think about that, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Like, one of the ways that we love God is with our mind, as we gain in understanding and knowledge and facts and all of the different things. Like, we are loving God as we are growing our minds and we're thinking more about him.
I always think it's interesting, as we were kind of talking about this show, I was like, oh, learning is such a good thing. It's the way God's designed us. And yet we say the fall is actually because there was a natural curiosity from Eve to say, well, could life be a little bit better? Like, I want to learn if there's...
And the tree
something
that was
on the
off
other
limits,
side.
Right? Was like the knowledge of good and evil.
Yes. Yes, you're right. So it's like all about learning. So I thought that was like really interesting. I was like, what does that mean? As we were kind of talking about this show. And I think that there is something that this signals to us, though. There are things that are not worth learning about, mm-hmm. and that we can waste our time to a point that it leads us down to the path of death, of literally drastic, quite life-shattering circumstances that we can begin to cultivate if we are choosing to apply our minds to things that aren't worth learning about, if we're not using discernment about these things. I feel like you had some stuff that you were sharing about how curiosity can go awry in motherhood. Maybe we'll pit stop here and then keep going.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think most of us in the social media age have heard of the word or phrase doom scroll. You guys know what that is, yeah?
No, I know what it is. Okay. Are you talking to the audience? I'm just listening.
And I think there can be this sort of doom learning mindset that we go into where, and maybe the verse that it brings up for me is that one from 2 Timothy 3-4, where it says, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but they'll have itchy ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions." And that's really thinking more of in a theological context. But I also think that there is this thing where, out of a desire to gain a sense of control and security, that we would be like, if I could just know things that others don't know, then I have some more type of control in this life that I have, in motherhood, in my family. And it's almost like information and like hearing things that soothe us and like fit our paradigm and like tell us exactly what we wanted to hear becomes a form of like capital that gives us power. You know, it's like money or influence, except for it's, I know something extra special and interesting about motherhood or about how the world works or about how to do this parenting thing that like other people don't know because you guys haven't awakened to it yet or whatever those things are. And I think in that we can distort learning. So instead of being, you know, accepting that there are things that we can't know, that, you know, we aren't just out there looking for information to kind of like soothe ourselves or to give us a sense of security, you know, we're not going to be able to fully know everything, but we can rest in God and faith and be humble, not only toward God, but towards others. And I think it's interesting that there's this verse in Ecclesiastes that says, for with much wisdom is much sorrow. As knowledge increases, grief increases. And it's listed, you know, learning and gaining knowledge is listed among the vanities, among the things that like we can throw ourselves into and pour ourselves into, right? We can become amazing at research and amazing at uncovering and amazing at watching this YouTube video and then reading this article and like putting all the pieces together. And like, there can be a vain striving in that. And there can be this sense that like, as we are going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the rabbit hole, like what are we really gaining? And as we've gained that knowledge, are we also increasing in sorrow? There's a risk there. I think there's also a risk. I think the verse that talks about, it's also in 2 Timothy where he warns about women who are always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. And I think we also see that today and just kind of the culture of do your research and learn about everything. Of course, we're saying like some of that is good, but I do think that there is a point where we're using our brains to become experts in things that are going to pass away and that don't matter eternally. So there's a balance there. And are we willing to chase down rabbit holes of like things of the Lord? Like, are we interested in our Bibles at all? Or are we only interested in uncovering whatever this like thing is that's going to just help us so much if we could just figure it out?
Yeah, it's a very good caution. And it's sobering when we think about learning because as we're talking about this, it's clear that humans have a natural bent to want knowledge and that's good, but can easily be turned to something disastrous. And so I think there's a good warning with that, that I like what you're saying is, are we learning about the things of God and the things that he delights in and he says is good? Mm-hmm. And so there are so many things under that umbrella, but then there are other times where naturally I think we want to delve into things that are not edifying or good for us. And so we have to be cautious, or there can be a time of you've spent too much time on something like yourself.
Yeah.
But to keep us going here, I mean, with redemption, I think that Jesus gives such a beautiful example of what it means to be a learner. And I think it's so wild that the God of the universe also spent time learning. And Luke 2:46, right? We see him as a child. He's sitting there at the temple. He is listening. He's asking questions. Hebrew 5:8 states it completely explicitly. He learned obedience from the things that he suffered. And so even just his life experiences, he's taking that to heart and he's learning. And so we see in Christ's examples that God uses the things that we learn to help us serve others, to fulfill our mission, and that God doesn't waste anything. And then Jesus even turns around and he charges us to become learners ourselves. And, you know, we think about where he states it again explicitly, Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission says, go and make disciples of all nations. And that's basically we're commissioned there to go and make learners. The word disciple is someone who sits under the teaching of another. It's someone who is learning. And so how can we go and make learners if we are not learners ourselves? And, you know, something I think is important to remember too is that biblically we kind of consistently see scripture in contrast to what Adam and Eve did and many others have done, that scripture upholds people who love learning about the things of God. When David talks about God, all I want to do is meditate on your word day and night, you know, he knew God because he learned about God. And that was considered a very good thing.
And ultimately, even though we don't have clarity on like, well, how much will we know when we get to heaven? We know that for now we see in a mirror dimly, but eventually we will see face to face. 1 Corinthians talks about this. He says, now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. And so there's this sense, and I forget what the other verse is. I'm getting a mix of my head, but there's one about, he says, you see with a veil, and then like, you're going to see with like unveiled face. So there's this sense that there is a limit to how we can know and understand things in this life, but that limit is going to be removed in heaven, and we're going to be able to more fully understand God and his grace and Christ and all the things that God has made. And so, you know, there's a lot of speculation and mystery about that, about what learning is going to look like in heaven. But I think that we know this is going to be made perfect and those distortions are going to no longer exist.
And we won't know everything God knows in heaven. We know we won't be God. Mm-hmm. So I think that we can have a pretty good assurance that there will be some learning, some surprise, some delight, some wonder that's experienced in heaven. With all of this said, we wanted to pull together just like one bigger example from scripture. You know, so much of scripture, as we talked about, it talks about loving God, learning about him. But I want to take a sec to zero in on Daniel for a hot minute, because as I was kind of prepping for the show, I was like kind of struck. Daniel has these three companions, and I'm not even going to mention their names because I will ruin them. But they're chosen for service of King Nebuchadnezzar. So if you haven't read the book of Daniel recently, go reread it. It's like just a fun read, kind of, you know, some prophecy in there. There's history. It's fun. But Daniel 1, it says this: to these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. So a few verses later, it then says, in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, the king found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. I thought this was so interesting about how God doesn't just make them experts in himself and his laws. It says in all kinds of literature and all kind of learning. And I think that that is encouraging to us to say, hey, we aren't confined to be, you know, just these little Christian robots that we're only going to learn about theology. We want to learn about theology. We want to learn about God. That's an important facet. But also, we can take the things that we've learned as doctors and nurses and teachers and, you know, business people and all the different careers that I'm sure people are doing out there who are listening to this podcast, of all the different education, of all the different life experiences in areas of science and psychology and sociology and all the things, we can take them and we can have them help inform our study of God's word and our study of our life. And they inform the way that we live holistically. This is kind of going back to our theme of we are whole people. We are not just mothers. I think it's important that we carry the weight of both and recognize that we're learning from the book of scripture, learning from the Bible, but we're also learning in God's design from the book of life, our lived experiences mm-hmm. and the knowledge we gain.
Yeah. So even though we have all these opportunities to learn, you know, first and foremost, like in God's word, and then also just in things around us, like it is still hard in day-to-day life in motherhood to be like, okay, I'm going to take time to learn something outside of what I absolutely have to. And that can be for a lot of reasons. And we think sometimes it's because we might feel like we don't have anything to learn. Like we might feel like we're a little bit of an expert in a certain area, or we've already arrived at a conclusion and there isn't much more we want to add to that. Or maybe we can't see how we could possibly learn from someone who's, oh, they're a little bit too old for me to listen to them, or someone is a little bit too young to listen to. And it's just amazing to go back to Jesus and think about all that he learned and the humility and the willingness that he had. Like this is, again, God as man, like learning from others. And if he humbles himself and is able to learn in that way, then we definitely still have things to learn. We have not arrived yet.
Yeah, another one I think that can often hold us back is that we don't want to look silly, or we kind of have this fear of man that, oh, we don't want everyone to know that we actually don't know those kind of things. And I think sometimes this can happen a lot too when we're trying to learn a new skill or a new endeavor. And so our kind of skill sets are on display. And this is where we sort of want these results more than we actually want to do the work. And it's important to remember that God doesn't ever promise results in our life. He doesn't promise that, hey, all this stuff you're going to learn, it's going to work out and you're going to be, you know, the very best in your field. You're going to be the best in the brightest. You're going to be delivering TED Talks. Like those are not promises that we find, but we do find that we're supposed to be people that work hard, that are industrious, that are not lazy, that we apply our minds and our lives to the world around us. And so I think that that's something that we can remember. It's not about us. You know, our identities are in Christ. And so it's not about whether or not we're going to impress other people. We can still go ahead and continue to learn and grow.
Yeah. And anytime we're learning and growing, I think it's hard because we feel uncomfortable for a time, right? If you learn something and you realize it changes the way that you should be doing your life, or the way that you're going about this or that routine, or the way that you're approaching your health, or whatever those things are, like there's going to be some uncomfortable changes. And sometimes we don't want that, right? I know that I felt that in motherhood before, where I'm like, I am at capacity for the amount of like change and craziness that I can handle. I can't then have this big area of life where I've learned a new thing, like also change. So we get that, that there are times when that's really challenging, but we have to realize like, that's one of the things that, you know, can happen as you get older that maybe always like, isn't the best is we can kind of just get stuck in your ways and feel like, well, I would rather just stick on with what I knew before versus like learning something new and there being the possibility that I may have to change something. And I really go back more and more to this idea that like Christians pursue truth and we're like freed by truth. And so as Christians, I feel like we should be the most like hungry for knowing what the truth really is. If we can find it as God allows, knowing that like any change that comes about as it's more and more in line with the truth is going to be freeing for us.
Okay. So in all of these, as we overcome those barriers, I think a cool facet of this is that we're actually showing a good example to our children of what it means to be that disciple or that learner. We're showing that posture of being someone who's humble to say, I don't know it all, but I want to find out. I want to discover and grow more. And then as we gain that knowledge, like we get to pass it on, you know, we get to teach it to our children. And that is what is so fun about it. It's funny because I think to myself, we were at the beginning of the show saying, you know, baby-led weaning and all these sleep things. And those are going to be irrelevant by the time my girl has babies, you know, like that's probably not going to be helpful to her, but there will be some truths that I can learn now and grow. Like I spent all that time in motherhood and it helped me in the moment, but there are lots of things that we can learn that are going to help us lifelong and that may be even better to apply ourselves to. But some practical ways to begin learning. First of all, just pick one or two topics to learn about. This is something that when you have a bigger topic, you can allow yourself to have years to learn about it. Something like for me, I know that I took years to learn about exercise. I mean, literal years. This is not I'm still learning good form. I'm still learning, you know, I see all these like things online where they've got these kind of insider language and terms. I still don't even know all those words. And I've been trying to learn and grow in exercise and what it means to do strength training for years and years and years. But not putting the pressure on that, like, I got to learn this in a week kind of can help quite a bit.
I think another thing is you can consider it in the context of even like a hobby or an endeavor that you want to embark on that you've never done before that feels a little bit risky. Foreshadowing to another episode. But for me, I think this was gardening. I remember kind of feeling like I have a black thumb, but I'm just going to try this. Like, why not? And it has taken me years now through, you know, reading books, listening to podcasts, reading articles online, failing, you know, trial and error to learn about a topic that I knew nothing about before that seemingly has no connection to motherhood. And yet I think that learning about gardening and embarking on that new hobby has really enriched aspects of motherhood. You know, especially when I see my daughter out there and she knows the names of the flowers now and she sings to the flowers. And it's like, I never would have had that moment in motherhood had I thought, no thanks, I don't have time to learn something new.
Right. Another way to just start learning is ask somebody wise out for a coffee date. Ask somebody wise.
Or coffee cake.
Is that what I said? Cake? I couldn't even tell what I said. Oh. Okay. Ask someone wise out for a coffee date or cake, yes, and have like an intentional conversation with them, even about something that's like a very specific topic. I know that I asked a friend of mine who was a great hostess and she was incredible at hospitality. And I just started picking her brain. I was like, why do you do this? And why do you do that? And how do you think ahead for this? What would you do if that happened? You know, and we were just going on and on. She had all these awesome answers. And so part of it was like experiencing her hospitality. And then part of it was like asking her questions to help me break it down. Where do you buy those plates? You know, where did you get this tool, that tool? What would you say are the most essential? And so be curious, have a natural curiosity about you, get good at asking questions. And I think that that has really, it has been so beneficial for me now as I go out and try to sort of model after her, just taking that time to ask the questions.
Mm-hmm. We can also, you know, you can purchase a course, a handbook, a class. Like I remember discovering, and this was in my young mom years, like discovering there are free seminary classes online and you can listen through all the lectures and thinking, okay, I don't even have to go sit in a building, but I have listened through several seminary level classes and just learning about topics theologically that were really interesting to me. But there's all of that in like, you know, other topics too. Like mm-hmm. it doesn't have to just be theology. Anything that you want to learn about out there, there's a course.
Yep.
There is a coach.
There really is.
There's somebody there really who will give you their expertise.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, like we just want to encourage you to just make it a goal to apply 1 to 2 things that you're learning this month into your real life, because you can hear a lot of things, you can read a lot of things, you can watch a lot of things, but we all know it doesn't get under your skin until you actually try it. So maybe this month it's implementing 1 to 2 things that you've learned or rehearsing. You know, if you're taking a seminary course, you're kind of rehearsing or reapplying some things that you learned in that. And over time, it's kind of amazing the amount of knowledge that you can accumulate. So we hope that maybe for some of you guys, the Lord is bringing to mind something that you're like, oh, I've kind of had some curiosity about that, or I've kind of wanted to take a leap. I've kind of wanted to take a risk there. And maybe this is just the nudge that you need to take a leap of faith and start to learn, be humble, be disciples, be people who learn and grow and then go and pass that on.
My name is Amber Hofer, and I'm a part of the Risen Motherhood community because it offers Christian support to mothers, which is especially crucial for those who don't have a Christian family or any Christian women to look up to. It has helped tremendously in my journey as a mother and raising my daughter. Thank you, Risen Motherhood.
Risen Motherhood is a nonprofit organization made possible by our generous donors for women just like you. If you'd like to support the ministry, please go to risenmotherhood.com/give.